the second stage tanks now pressurized. 35 seconds and counting. We are still going.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lindsay.
Are we beginning to see the formation of a fundamental shift in the American dream of home ownership?
A weekly mortgage market update.
20 seconds and counting.
Providing up-to-the-minute information.
The of Chinese investors in the real estate market, and they're really starting to have an impact, but it's only
on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
If you look at it on a dollar value, it's significant. If you look at it on a unit basis, it's inconsequential to the overall big market.
To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972.
Here's the deal. How much of the market, real estate market, is comprised of this type of property?
12, 11, 10, 9, ignition sequence start.
And now, here is your host of Lickin' on Lending,
3, 2,
David Lickin.
So good to have you join us each and every week, everybody. We've got people in from Hartford, Connecticut, St. Louis, Missouri. We got people. I just found up looking forward to looking up all the numbers and where they're from that are dialing in. We appreciate you tuning in, no matter where you're dialing in from or connecting from, listening to us live on the internet, wherever it may be. We're glad to have you here with us. Folks, we have got a good program today, and I'm really excited about this series. We're talking about social media marketing. Is this really the wave of the future? Well, we're going to be focusing on LinkedIn. Got some interesting stories. We got Rob Lowe, who joins us from Down Under. He is in Australia, Brisbane, actually. Actually, I pre-recorded this last night because he said, Dave, if I have to dial in at 4 a.m., I'll do it, but I don't think it'll be as good a radio as if we do it today. So we recorded it last night, so I'm really excited about sharing that interview with you. Anyway, it is Monday, November 13th. 2017. We hope you had a great Veterans Day. We appreciate and honor all our veterans that are out there, so making us safe, those that have been us safe and are still making us safe, contributing to this great country. Appreciate you very much, and we do salute you. This podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It's for mortgage professionals and an increasing number of real estate professionals, and we're grateful to have you as a listener. We ask you, tell others about it. Many of you have, and we have so many listeners across the nation. I'm still looking. There's people still dialing in. The switchboard loads up as it happens, literally, as we're speaking. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about what's going on out there as far as what the markets are doing. We're going to get into that, but first, we want to say a special thank you to our sponsors. We're going to thank Arch MI, Arch Mortgage Insurance, the creator of the new innovative RateStar program. Also, Motivity Solutions, now owned by Black Knight, who provide real-time reporting, dashboard, and scorecards. And when you put that system on top of Black Knight, the data that they have, this is like an OMG. Oh, my gosh. What this thing can do is amazing. And we have Velma, an efficient mortgage marketing and email platform. So grateful for Brent Emler and the team there. Simplifile, a real-time electronic communications exchange. And you can exchange emails in real time with closing agents. And when it gets down to that last few critical moments, seconds, it's a great service to have. Simplifile. Also, the Mortgage Collaborative, my good buddy David Kittle, and John Robbins, and Jim Parks, and Gary Costa, and a whole group of others got together, formed a very exciting and powerful network. Encourage you to check it out. And then Finastra, the third largest fintech company in the world. We're glad to have them. And of course, as sponsors, as well as we have Alice and we have Andy, who's today, he's speaking at a conference. He's not with us, but we have Joe and we have our newest member to the team, Alan Pollock, joining in. So thank you to all of them for making this program as good as it is. Present company excluded, that we are just glad to have them here to increase the content. But it's really good to have you with us. Some upcoming MBA conferences. Had a conversation with Marcia Davies this last week. Gave her kudos. Alice and I interviewed her, and we talked about the Empower. We're going to be playing that interview. It was really amazing, this conference in Denver. Many said the highlight of that conference was the Empower event. It's focusing on women in the marketplace, within our marketplace. It was outstanding. So Alice and I did an interview of Marcia. Kudos to the MBA for the job they're doing. And also, I'm sure many of you heard the announcement that David Stevens is now going to be retiring at the end of this season, just before the next conference. So this will be a year of transition. So we'll be seeing what goes on there. But we're grateful to have the partnership we do. This week, In fact, this afternoon, as soon as we hang up on this podcast today, we will be heading out to the airport because I'll be flying to Nashville, where I'll be the keynote speaker at MGIC's Focus 2017. And it's really looking at what happened in 2017 and looking forward to 2018. Really looking forward to getting together with our friends there. Also, November 13th, again this week, we have the Accounting and Finance Management Conference coming up in Grand Hyatt, San Antonio. Also, we have, that'll be live streamed. Part of that will be live streamed. December 4th, we have the Summit on Diversity and Inclusion that the MBA is putting on. Then also, this January 22nd, the MBA's Mergers and Acquisition Conference starts. That's just on the front side of the Independent Mortgage Banking Conference. The two are both of those events are happening in Amelia Island. We'll be there doing our program, most likely from the Finastra booth. So check it out. Alan will be there. I think we'll see. Alice, are you going to be out there? We'll have to find out. Yes, in your segment, you have to let us know. Anyway, excited to have you with us. Now let's run over to Rob and get the update from the MBA. So here's MBA's Mortgage Minute for this week.
Hi, I'm Rob Van Raphorst. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last week, MBA sent a letter to the House Ways and Means Committee on their proposal for tax reform. While MBA strongly supports the goal of enacting tax reform that spurs jobs and economic growth, we have serious concerns about certain proposals, including changes to the mortgage interest deduction, the deductibility of state and local real estate taxes, and the exemption for capital gains treatment when families sell their principal residence. MBA believes these changes would have a negative impact on the housing market and potentially the national economy as a whole. Last week, the weekly mortgage application survey showed that mortgage applications were unchanged from 1 week earlier, and the average contract interest rate for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage decreased to 4.18%. MBA is looking forward to hosting our 2018 Independent Mortgage Bankers Conference this January at Florida's Amelia Island. Thanks for joining me this week on the Mortgage Minute.
Good to have you with us, Rob, in our partnership with the MBA, so we're very grateful for that. We want to also get out to Les Parker. Now, I owe him an apology. They put so much time and effort into these segments that they do. And last week, we could not connect for the life of me to the switchboard at Blog Talk Radio to play that interview. It was just, I don't know what was going on technology-wise, but we got him back this week. So, Les Parker, what do you have for us on the macro look of the economic world?
It's great to be with you, Dave. Loan Logic sponsors Market Logics Live. We're locked, everybody. We're locked. Everybody in the Saudi block. We're waking to the jailhouse rock.
Born through a party in the county jail. The prison band was there, they began
okay.
To play. The band was jumping
and
the jump again.
One of my favorite songs.
You should have heard you knocked out jailbirds.
Oil surged as House of Saud princes and business tycoons were rounded up to cool their checkbooks in jail. All investors care about is how political intrigue disrupts a little over 10% of oil production. Relationships can defy logic. Just ask my wife. Oil and treasuries do not move in tandem. Why oil moves is more important than the direction or magnitude of the move. It is about the id, not the do. These views are my own. Go to loanlogics.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
Yeah, it is a good newsletter. It is a good newsletter, and I appreciate the work that they go in. Les is famous for his music metaphors. He does that in his newsletter. He and Michael over at one of the other services do a lot of this. So I think there's a battle of who can come up with the greatest music metaphor. So anyway, Joe, you don't have to do any music metaphors for us to just really – get in and learn a lot from you. So don't ever feel any pressure, but it is sometimes a little bit of a harder act to follow. But it's good to have you with us, Joe Farr.
Well, thank you. You would not want me doing music metaphor, believe me.
Would it be Bach or Beethoven or something like that? Well, anyway, I just want to tell you this much. Your service, again, I carry it with me. I'm traveling this week. Your app will be open the whole time. I'll look at what's happening. I'm grateful for the work you do and encourage our listeners to check out MBS Quoteline. Les talked about volatility. How do people manage it, Joe, without having your app? So let's get into it.
MBS prices are up a little bit this morning, about 3 or 4 30-seconds. It's not based on any release of economic data. It's just we saw a little bit of a movement lower last week without a lot of news behind it. So, you know, it's just market volatility coming around. So last week was one of the more volatile weeks we've had in a while. We dropped MBS prices about half a point, and really not a lot to point to for that. There's a lot of stuff going on with the tax proposals, but you know, really none of that. In fact, what came out should have been good for mortgage rates.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, we had had 2 weeks prior to this where we saw a pretty good improvement in MBS prices, so maybe it's a little bit of a give back of some of that. So we'll be on the alert this week for additional things that can cause prices to move. Came out last week what really had to do with the tax proposals. As the House had proposals and then the Senate had proposals that differed, it did cause some volatility. But like we were talking about before the show started, the proposals are changing so much, and they're coming at from this House and the Senate are different, and there's still a lot to be done to get to what we wind up with as hopefully as a law that's ready for the president to sign. And because it's still so much to do, it really has not had a huge impact, or at least the proposals haven't had a huge impact on MBS prices or mortgage rates as they've been coming out. I think once we get to a firmer grasp of what the tax bill will do, it will be looked at as what impacts this going to have now on future inflation. You know, the more stimulative it is, the worse that's going to be for mortgage rates. And so, you know, we'll just have to watch, see what ultimately comes out. Last week, the economic data that came out, JOLTS came out pretty much as expected. Consumer sentiment fell a little bit. That was somewhat expected, but it's still at a very good level. Surprisingly, both the 10-year and 30-year Treasury auctions were strong, had strong demand, yet that didn't carry over into MBS prices for whatever reason. I don't know.
Interesting.
Tax reform proposals will remain the key source of information for mortgage rates this week. You know, the data that comes out is pretty important. We have PPI coming out tomorrow, CPI and retail sales on Wednesday at 8:30, so that's a big time to pay attention. Industrial production on Thursday and housing starts on Friday. You know, all this is October data, which means there'll be less noise in it, but I still think there'll be hurricane-related noise in this. We'll see big drops in some things as a result of September data. As we've said in the past, the data has been difficult to get a true picture of what's the ongoing economic activity level. And so as we get further from those hurricanes, we'll start getting a clearer picture. October should be clearer than what came out in September.
It'd be interesting. And boy, you got it all packed into this concise website. I love it. I absolutely love it.
Well,
what else? Anything else? What are you looking at? When something comes on CNBC or Fox Business or something like that.
It truly does change from day to day, doesn't it? I mean, so right now it's taxes. Tax reform.
It's taxes.
And its impact on future inflation.
Guess who we have coming up next? Alice Alvin. She's going to be talking a little bit about that, probably from another little bit of a different angle, but we're really excited about that. So, Joe, thanks so much for being here. Appreciate it. MBSQuoteLine.com,
sure.
Folks. MBSQuoteLine.com. Get a whole check it out and forget your free download or free use of it for a little while.
2 week trial.
2 week trial. That's what I should say. Two week trial. I shouldn't say it's free. It's free. 2 week trial. But get a hold of Joe.
Yeah.
You get a hold of him at 512-637-1763. Joe, appreciate you so much, man. Thank you so much for being here. We're going to run out for a quick word from our sponsor, Velma, again, the virtual electronic marketing assistant, and hear about it. You should be using this service. It's a valuable service, one that we use to get the word out each week. If you're not on our mailing list and getting these notifications, go to LykkenOnLending.com, L-Y-K-K-E-N, onlending.com. Sign up for the newsletter. Be right back.
Are you using one of those expensive CRMs that your loan officers won't use? If so, then give my friends at Velma a call and let them help you create a customer journey that relies on the data and not on loan officer interaction. I encourage you to consider working with Velma to create a truly automated marketing experience for your organization. Velma makes marketing automation easy. Schedule a demo today at Velma.com, V-E-L-M-A.com.
The Mortgage Collaborative was founded by former chairman of the NBA, John Robbins and David Kittle, and leaders at the forefront of the diversity movement in the real estate industry, Jim Park and Gary Acosta. The Mortgage Collaborative is the nation's only independent cooperative. The Collaborative provides its members the opportunity to meet and form meaningful relationships with top mortgage professionals and leaders in our industry. In a relationship-driven business such as ours, often who you know is as important as what you know. To learn more, go to mortgagecollaborative.com or call Rich Swarbinski at 440-552-0691. The power of the network.
So good to have them, and good to have all of our sponsors with us. Value the relationship with each and every one of them. We've got Alice Alvey. She and Joe believed in this from the very, very beginning. We didn't have hardly anybody to talk to. But now it's, you know, gosh, this thing is ridiculous how many people are listening to our podcast. And Alice, you're dialing in from your new residence area, your new part of the – and are you going to ever switch over to become a Buckeye fan, Ohio State fan?
Oh, you're asking a lot, Dave. That's asking a lot. I won't be.
Well, they were looking strong on Saturday. I'll tell you that was a bit of a rout. Anyway, it's good to have you with us, Alice. And I'm really interested in your comments about and your perspective on the tax bill.
Yeah, I thought it would be helpful for our listeners to talk a little bit about exactly where this is at today, and just really give you some resources if you want to go check this out yourself, because I know it's difficult to listen to television and radio news. I find it hard to just try and get someone else's opinion on it. I like to look at the numbers and have graphs and compare things. And actually what I would love is a calculator where I could put in my income and my scenario and tell me what's going to happen. I have not found that yet. Those sites are usually steering you back to their tax service that they want to sell you. So here's what we have so far. As Joe mentioned, these are both in committee. Neither one of these are actually a formal bill that's up for voting yet. So that's one thing to keep in mind. But they are on a very, very fast pace. Last week, a lot of this was moving. The president still wants to get this done by the end of the year. So, and then the MBA on November 6th published their position and kind of their concern points, but even that wasn't very detailed, right? In an effort to get a congressperson's attention, don't have more than 2 pages of information. So that's the challenge there as you're trying to fit it all in. So I think the summary that I'd like to provide for everybody is there is a proposed cap on the mortgage interest deduction, and actually the Forbes website has a good set of tables where they've summarized and done several comparisons between here's where we're at today, here's what the House bill says, and then here's what the Senate bill says. So very easy to read, 3-column structure. And both of them are looking at, you know, putting a cap on the mortgage interest deduction, which is $500,000, eliminating the deduction of the interest on home equities, but then also putting a cap on the property tax deduction of $10,000 for state and local taxes. So that's the one that seems to be getting a lot of attention, that's touching the mortgage industry very directly, and trying to get a handle on how many consumers does this actually impact. And, of course, we feel it definitely waters down the mortgage interest deduction just in a conversation when you combine that with increasing the standard deduction.
Right.
They are looking at doubling the standard deduction. That would be $12,200 for a single and about $24,400 for a married person. And that's really the impact. So when you read the mortgage interest deduction issue on its own, you have to combine that with, and they're going to increase the standard deduction. So Zillow put out a chart. They actually took their data, and if you there's a place, the Zillow tax plan would make MID feasible on fewer homes than the house plan. So it's a comparison. There's actually a visual graphic. Now, Zillow, of course, had to make lots of assumptions. Don't forget to read the fine print. They based this off of assuming everyone had just started their mortgage and was at the full interest impact, you know, that you have on your first mortgage. And we know that's not the case, right? Many folks have seasoned mortgages and don't have interest deduction that high. So they certainly did worst case scenario on the impact, right, assuming the highest possible interest payment. But certainly they do have plenty to go on with value. And, you know, their comparison is that roughly 44% of homes are worth enough for it to make sense for people to itemize. And in the new plans, those numbers drop to 12% under the House plan and 7% under the Senate plan. So you can go to the website and check that out. I do recommend checking out Forbes' website because, like I said, they're not really taking a news slant. They're just showing you side-by-side comparisons of each of the buckets.
Yeah. I said, no, that's good to see that there's more of an objective side-by-side analysis. I got to check that article. If you send me the link to that, we'll put it into the show notes. We'll get that out there for everyone. So,
okay, that would be great. Yeah, and I have to correct one thing. I don't think I clarified. The Senate still retains a $1 million cap for the mortgage interest deduction. It's the House that has a $500,000 cap. The Senate is removing the property tax deduction. So you see what I mean about you've got to look at all the pluses and minuses in each of the sections to say, you know, not only where would you personally end up, but where would the industry potentially end up? The other one I think that's interesting is obviously the tax brackets are a big thing that are changing. They're going to be reducing them from 7 down to 4. But many of the higher income brackets are not, or the highest income bracket, over $500,000 is not changing that much. So I think, you know, you have to look at your tax bracket, look at the you and then combine that with, hey, and I'm going to get a bigger standard deduction. So then I think the next thing to think about is that to me there was another big change in distributions. That 30% of distributions to, you know, if you own your own company, this is always a decision, right? Do I take W-2 or do I take a distribution? And so for a business income, that'll be changing. That rate is actually going to be 30% of it will be capped out for the new 25% rate. And then the remaining 70% will be at the personal level. So I think there's definitely, you know, not only a personal side, but for those of you who own your own businesses and, of course, your own mortgage companies, definitely a lot to weigh out between the two. So that's let me just double check that. Oh, capital gains was another one. So
you
have this balance between the estate tax is really looking at getting hit by both bills. The House bill is completely remove it, and then the Senate bill was still was tax it, you know, after a 50% of it and a much sooner rate. So MBA did focus on that in terms of the capital gains rollover could be a detriment. So that one is definitely one to take a look at as an industry on top of the mortgage interest deduction. So those are my points on that piece. I'll definitely send over the links. One other heads up note, I think, as an industry that's a big thing is we are coming up on like that the 90-day mark from when the disasters occurred for the hurricanes. And this is going to be a big thing for the industry coming up over the next several months as you look at I'm hitting 90 days where all my forbearance borrowers, are they going to go current? Are they going to bring their loans current? Well, I don't have the number on how many tens of thousands of folks and every company impacted differently who filed for forbearance for the hurricanes. And folks need to know, it's talking to consumers, let them know they've got a day of reckoning coming on, you know, bringing that loan current or, you know, going through a modification and getting even further behind on their mortgage, which would be reported to the credit bureaus. So I think there's a big consumer awareness push out that lenders need to make sure they're on top of for December 1st and January 1st. And then, of course, everybody's got to come up with the cash to front to Ginnie Mae, you know, when these customers are in forbearance. So a big curve coming up here.
It's going to have an impact. It's going to have an impact on a lot of mortgage companies, and that's why a lot of mortgage companies need to get ahead of this. And I'm surprised at the number of people that are retaining servicing in Ginnie Mae specifically and do not understand how that works. So this could be an interesting fall for some of them. More of the more sophisticated companies got this. I think they're out there. But, folks, this is a huge opportunity for you to differentiate yourself in the marketplace. Even if you're not holding servicing, make people aware of this in those markets if you serve in those markets. Good report, Alice. Love it much. Appreciate it. So grateful for Bill and company, Bill Cosgrove and company, to let you spring you free so you can come on and be with us each and every week on an ongoing basis. Talking about the legislative update. It was really fun having you on when we interviewed Marcia Davies this last week. So looking forward to having that interview airing soon. So thank you, Alice. We're going to be right back this brief. You bet. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Hey, thanks a lot, David. Finastra is extremely proud to be a key sponsor of the Liquidnon Lending Program. Known formerly as DNH, Finastra's global lending division provides end-to-end solutions and innovation to the full spectrum of lenders, including independent mortgage bankers, community banks and credit unions, and even the largest banks globally. Learn more about how you can provide an innovative digital experience for your borrowers by leveraging our multi-channel point-of-sale solution, which includes the new MortgageBot Mobile, by visiting our website at finastra.com.
Simplifile has technology that gives you the ability to collaborate with settlement agents via real-time chat and messaging, allowing you to track changes, send, receive, and validate documents, as well as obtain status updates and deal with issues as they arise. All of this in a real-time electronic communication exchange. And best of all, you have a complete audit trail of all communications. To learn more, go to simplifile.com or call our good friend Nancy Alley at 1-800-460-5657.
Good to have you with us, everybody. I'm looking up and down the switchboard. We've got people from Olympia, Washington, down the West Coast, all the way down the West Coast, up and down the whole West Coast, down to Irvine. And then we jump over to Kansas City, Missouri, Trenton, New Jersey. Several people dialed in by the cell phones, it appears, Kansas City, Missouri, Hartford, Connecticut again. So thankful that each of you dialed in from so many places. And representing the Deep Southeast, we have Alan Pollack with the Tech Report. Alan, good to have you with us, man.
Likewise. I'm excited to hear we have so many listeners from all over. That's great.
Yeah, we got some from Florida. We got in Ponte Vedra Beach, some from Miami. So it's really fun to see them. If I have the time, I try to dial in and do a Google search. Where are these people calling in from? These local numbers. So, I mean, the numbers from all over the country. So anyway, Alan,
yeah,
what you got
great.
For a tech report?
So like you said earlier, when you were talking about the sponsors of the show, you said, I think when talking about Motivity and Black Knight, that's like an OMG. So
yeah.
I'd like to repeat that and say that the Equifax data breach and the amount of money that they've incurred
yeah.
so far in the third quarter is also like an OMG. And so reported this week, the massive data breach has cost Equifax nearly $90 million so far. And that's just
wow.
in the third quarter. They incurred a one-time charge for the cybersecurity just inside of $87.5 million. They are forecasting between $60 and $75 million in spending that will include information technology security updates in the fourth quarter alone. Their
Whoa.
Net income has fallen 27%. There have been 240 class action lawsuits and over 50 investigations
oh, yeah.
launched. Yeah. And as we
yeah,
know,
that's
CEO
just the
resigned.
Beginning. And that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
You know, the plaintiff bar is all over this. I'd be interested if they survive
yeah.
this. I'm not sure that they're going to. That'll be interesting. We'll see.
Well, I can tell you there's definitely talk about others offering other types of services that Equifax offers today to the mortgage lending industry. So it might have opened the distribution of certain types of data just because of the impact of
yeah.
this one organization.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Absolutely. In addition, by the way, and I think this is a topic that everybody would give a thumbs up to, which is that senators last week pushed to ditch the Social Security number in light of the hack. And what they're basically saying is, as we all know, Social Security numbers are a privacy nightmare. While consumers
mm-hmm.
who get hacked can replace credit card numbers, account details, a Social Security number is relatively permanent. So it'll be interesting to see what happens as they push that. I think some of the technology options they've offered is a two-factor digital certificate and a way to provide that this is who you are, but maybe not have to share the information.
Interesting. That would be interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, J.D. Power put out a report, and it's very interesting what they did, because what we are hearing in the industry as far as the efficiencies of the digital mortgage, and we bring a different topic about that on each week. What they're saying or what they've found is a little bit different. They're saying the mortgage industry's promise of technology creating a faster and easier mortgage origination process does not appear to be fully recognized, as mortgage consumers are reporting slower purchase process. That's according to the 2017 J.D. Power Primary Mortgage Origination Satisfaction Survey.
Interesting. Did they mention who the winners were of their satisfaction survey?
They did. So Guild Mortgage had the highest satisfaction number, tied with Quicken Loans at 878. And then as the numbers go down, Prime, the next group is Prime Lending, Regions Mortgage, Fairway, Independent is next. And then there's a big group that are all within the very close, race. But I got to tell you that the satisfaction numbers are all very high. There's not if you take like the top 10, there's not a very
right.
big difference in those satisfaction numbers. So it just shows that our colleagues and friends out there are doing a great job and continuing to expand upon, what they consider as consumer satisfaction.
Yeah. Gabe Minton, our buddy Gabe at Guild, recently joined Guild. We'll give Gabe the credit for that. I'm sure Marianne and the crew have to, we'll object a little bit, but Gabe is definitely knows what he's doing there. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Anything else that's on your radar screen?
Yeah, a bunch of different stuff. So PennyMac Financial Services set to launch a broker direct origination channel, complementing its correspondent production and retail origination side. And they're saying that their in-house technology development plays a major role in their non-bank's effort to increase origination. So, you know, there's a lot of great digital mortgage things going on with PennyMac. LoanDepot has announced a partnership with Ojo Labs. Consumers will engage in a personalized mobile experience leading up their purchase, accessing invaluable mortgage information prior to interacting with the salesperson. And then the big news this past end of last week was that Mr. Cooper leads a $7 million funding for a digital homeowners insurance agency, Matic Insurance. And Matic, for those of you that don't know, they allow homeowners to buy insurance during the mortgage process. And Mr. Cooper will integrate them into their digital mortgage platform, which is expected to be launched next year.
I'm just not getting used to this Mr. Cooper branding. I'm not a fan of that right now. So we'll see if that sticks. So anyway, two more things real quick.
Yeah, to win you over, I'll see if I can bring a nice interview to the program from Mr. Cooper. I think that'll help win you over.
All right.
Two quick things. One is a brand new technology out there called the Dot Watch. It is the world's very first mass-produced micro-braille actuator. And so what it is, it's a watch that has automatic little tabs that appear and disappear and create that braille experience for somebody.
You're kidding.
And what they're saying is, it's unbelievable. And their mission won't stop with the Dot Watch. In fact, it's going to pave the road to a much bigger and a brighter future for them.
Yeah.
They're hoping to enter the education spectrum from simple braille acquisition all the way to tactical graphic representations. So, you know, you never know what that can do to our industry and
Now we're going to have disclosures done in Braille. That's hilarious. I'm just being a little facetious. Anyway, good stuff, Alan. I'm looking forward to launching TechStack Radio. We're doing that January 2018. And so Alan will be joining me, or I'm joining Alan. We're doing it together. We're just a true co-hosting, and we're getting that all ready to go. And we're already talking to some people. In fact, Alan, you've connected with Anthony over at LoanDepot. And through LinkedIn. And we're talking about LinkedIn in our interview with Rob Lowe. And Anthony is one active guy on there. And that's a good example of how you can promote your business inside of the marketplace. And so as we get ready to play this interview, you want to add a couple thoughts to the LinkedIn experience?
Yeah, I think what's really interesting is, you know, especially, you know, I got to really leverage the power of LinkedIn early this year, started my own consulting practice and recently joined yours. And so I think what's interesting is that it's a place where you can connect with people very easily. And most people respond. So if you send out an email, it gets lost in the giant inbox of emails. And if you make a phone call, sometimes you catch someone at the wrong time. LinkedIn was a very easy and a very successful way for me to reach out to a lot of different people. So I think that as long as you follow the rights and wrongs of compliance, depending on which end of the spectrum in our industry you're on, LinkedIn, you know, is definitely very powerful. So it will be interesting to hear the interview and then see how that helps us moving forward.
Yeah, I look forward to get your commentary afterwards. So, all right. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Get a hold of Alan at alan@tms-advisors.com if you want to learn more about the tech program, as well as to get some insights and some innovation that he can provide your company through technology. Folks, we're going to be right back with a word from our good friend Jim Jump at ArchMI. Jim?
Thanks, David. Let me tell your audience a little bit about ArchMI RateStar. RateStar is the most sophisticated pricing solution for mortgage insurance quotes ever built. RateStar has an advanced revolutionary design. It's simple to use, it's easy to access, and it's fully mobile. You can access it anywhere, anytime. RateStar provides a more sophisticated and dynamic pricing solution, far superior than conventional rate sheets. It's available on loan origination systems, through many pricing engines, and it rewards your origination of high-quality loans, again, with our most competitive rates. Of course, RateStar is backed by ArchMI's people power, providing superior support and service whenever you might need it. For more information about RateStar, please go to archmi.com or archmicu.com for credit unions. Thanks, David.
Appreciate it so much, Jim. Really appreciate the partnership with Arch. Folks, also, let's take a quick break and talk to our friend John Maynell with the latest KPI of the week. I love this ad because it's so educational as well as informative about their services. So, John, what you got for us now?
Hello, Dave. Thanks very much. Great to be here as always. And this week we have another key performance indicator related to TRID. and the KPI is underwriting to closing days. And like all TRID metrics, the focus is the estimated closing date and how far in advance a file should be submitted to underwriting to make provisions for any and all underwriting eventualities, possibly multiple resubmissions, and leaving enough time after final approval to finish the loan and deliver the closing disclosure on time. A very common practice for lenders that have automated their analytics with mortgage business intelligence like Movation is to have the system automatically send email alerts to participants on those loans that are running late and at risk of missing these milestone deadlines. Now, this allows loan participants to continually reprioritize their workflow to ensure they remain compliant, clearly demonstrating again that what gets measured gets results. And with that, Dave, I will thank you once again and turn it back to you.
If you guys wonder the power of advertising on the Lickin' & Lending Show, you should know how many times I go to a conference and I'll get this look. And remember, Lickin', what gets measured gets results. I love that. So I'm talking to Bill Farmakis. And by the way, if you want to advertise with us, get a hold of Bill Farmakis. You should get to know him anyway. He's the man behind the scenes of many, many outstanding advertising campaigns. I was talking to Bill and he said, "Say, Dave, I need measurements. So we're applying that rule here as well. So good to have each of you with us. I'm really excited about this up and coming segment. Again, we have people dialed in. I'm looking up and down the switchboard how many people are dialed in. So obviously this hot topic has real interest to many of you. You know, I met Rob Lowe through a mutual friend that was, I tell you, I'm just really excited about that introduction. And it's Emma Moreau of Social Survey. And Emma introduced me to Rob. She says, I don't do this Facebook marketing so much. I'm not sure that is as good for B2B, such as what we're doing, a consulting firm going after other businesses. Now, Facebook marketing, which we're going to be talking about in future podcasts, does work when reaching consumers. So if you're a loan originator, that does work. You should also be using LinkedIn. Last year, about this time, I had maybe 5,500, maybe 6,000 connections. Today, it is exploding and it's going up. I'm over 12,500 and I'm amazed at the number of connections. I checked, I cleared out something like 30 new connection requests earlier today, and they're all mortgage people. And then I went after it again and dialed it just for the program, and there's some more. And once you get in a momentum of where you're really adding people, this thing has amazing the power it has. So I was looking for someone to come on our podcast, and Emma, my dear friend Emma, who is with Scott Harris over at Social Survey, they said, "Oh, you've got to talk to Rob." And so they said, one problem is he's down in Brisbane, Australia, so he's down and under. And so we connected with him. Again, as I told at the beginning of the program, due to the time zone changes, we were going to have him come on live. But he said, "Do you mind if we pre-record this?" And so we got a great interview I want to share with you at this time. Pay attention how you can use LinkedIn to connect with people. Over half of my connections for services that are people interested in our services are now coming in through LinkedIn. So with that, let's get over to talk or listen to my interview with Rob Lowe. Folks, I'm excited to have Rob Lowe with us, and he's from Down Under, and he is a LinkedIn expert. And we're going to get into how LinkedIn can be a powerful tool at helping you connect with your next best customer. Rob, good to have you here with us today.
David, it's great to be part of this. Thanks so much for having me today. And hopefully I can throw some value out there to your listeners via LinkedIn.
Well, one of the things that I can anticipate many people say is, why LinkedIn? Why not just build a website page showcasing, my services, your services, or whomever listing out there, a loan officer services? You know, why LinkedIn?
Very good question. Everybody asks this. You need both. You need a website, okay, as a landing page to showcase your business. But where do people search for you these days? They search for you via LinkedIn and via social media. So absolutely, you need a web page for your business, but you need a very good, impactful LinkedIn and social media profile.
You know, one of the things I mentioned earlier is, you know, what a great job you did of redesigning my profile and getting it published. I'm getting a lot of compliments, so kudos to the job that you did. You know, how important is your headline, and what should it say? What tips do you have for our listeners?
Okay, good question, right? Headline is the first thing people see after your name and your photo, right? So headline really showcases your keywords. What are the most important keywords for your business? Now, LinkedIn by default puts a job title in there, CEO, CFO, COO, whatever it is. People aren't searching for CEOs and COOs. They're searching for a specific service. Related to your business, it would be mortgage-related consultancy. So that's what they're searching for. First glance, they need to see the value in connecting with you and engaging with you and your services, and that's what the headline is for. So what should it say? Mortgage-related, if it's related to you, David. Mortgage broker, financial planner, whatever it is that you are, absolutely it should showcase that key service. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does. And again, I encourage people to go take a look at what you did for mine. Connect with me and take a look at it. It's really well done. And I have some of your competitors now calling me saying, man, that's good. Did you do that or did you hire somebody? And so, you know, the next thing that's on there is that photo. And there's a lot of different theories about photos. But for business-related photos, what do you recommend? And, you know, should it be a socially relaxed photo or more professional? What's your recommendation?
LinkedIn's a business forum. People have a look on LinkedIn to engage with professionals. They don't want to see a Facebook-related photo. They don't want to see something that somebody is sitting there with their dog or their cat. They want to see a business-related work format photo. So that is very important. Just standing in a crowd, probably not ideal. Just you facing the camera in work attire. So people see that, A, you're business focused, and be exactly what you look like, because business, people buy from people, right? So they need to see the whites of your eyes, for want of
a better word. Yeah. So selfies are probably not the best thing to be using. I mean, it's worth investing to get a professional photographer, or at least have someone, you know, use your cell phone. I mean, the cameras we got on our cell phones these days, our PDAs, are being really, our mobile devices are really excellent. So you can get a good photo if it's well lit. You know, should it be on a white background such as mine is? I've heard others saying, oh, no, you should have it just, you know, have other background in there. Do you have any thoughts on the background for your photo?
That's a good question. Most of our clients have a white background, but we also build, and you'll see it for yours there, David, you've got a background that we built separate to your photo. So your photo is there, your profile photo is there, but you've got a great background which showcases your key services. So your listeners can have a look and see what I mean on your profile. But essentially, they need to see something that throws value out there to the audience for people searching. So your profile needs to stand out from your competitors when people are searching for it. The background is equally important. Does that make sense?
Okay, good. Yeah, that does. Rob, what should your summary say? What information should be there?
Okay. So very important that the first couple of lines are very impactful, related directly to what your experience and your expertise is. All right. So it really needs to kick off. And again, I'll refer back to your profile, David. It really needs to say, I've got 30 years experience in the mortgage related space, and kick off essentially with that. People see the first two lines of your summary when they glance over your profile. Only when they click on it, on your profile, do they see the rest of your summary. So you've got to get it right there. You've got to say to them, this guy actually has been in the game a long time. He knows what he's talking about. This is the expertise that he brings to the party. So it's a very important area to get right.
Well, you spent a lot of time working on that and getting that eye-catching, those words, and you did a great job. Again, we'll be referring back to mine constantly because it's not my work, it's yours. How important is a LinkedIn profile to generate business? I mean, if you're looking to generate business off of this, that LinkedIn profile would seem to be very important. And if so, are you here to showcase your services? Do you want them to get to know you? How do you build the LinkedIn profile once you click on it and it opens up?
That's a good question. People go onto the LinkedIn profile to do a little bit of research and to see where you can add value to them, right? So if they're searching for a key service, they don't necessarily know your name. So your keywords are vitally important. They'll search for your keywords either via LinkedIn or, believe it or not, on Google, because If you get things right on your LinkedIn profile, you will rank on Google. I'm not saying on the first page, but your LinkedIn, your social media profile should rank on Google if you're getting it right. When they're searching for a keyword and they find you either via Google or via LinkedIn, they need to see this is what your expertise is. I hope I've answered that question.
That does. Yeah, that really does. That really does help. I did not realize that a strong LinkedIn presence will actually help you be found on Google. That's really interesting. What do people search for to find you in LinkedIn? It's not your name. It's all about services. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
That's correct. So we'll reference back to what we mentioned previously. If people are searching for a mortgage-related expert, they'll type in those sort of similar keywords, mortgage expert or mortgage consultant, mortgage planner, whatever it is. They need to find you for your keywords, not for your name. Obviously, if they know your name, they've got a business association with you already. That's not what this is for. They need to search for your services.
You know, that brings up the point of the job title, because a lot of people are really proud of their title that they have, especially if they've got and worked hard and have earned a good title. But how important is that?
Well, you're spot on there. C-level people want to speak to other C-level people. If you want to connect with people in the business environment, you've got a better chance of connecting people at the same level as you, right? So if you're a CEO, you've got more likely to connect to other CEOs than you will with business development managers, sales managers, whatever it is. So title is very important.
That's really interesting. I mean, that makes sense, but I thought I heard you say earlier that you don't want to lead with that. So how does that fit into the profile? Is it something you have later after you click on it that you lead with your services? How does that show up?
Well, your job title should be there in your experience. So that's separate from the summary. You can mention it in your summary, but previously we mentioned in your headline. So you can put it in your headline, but you've got 120 characters to play with on your headline. Rather make them more impactful in the keyword scenario rather than just showcasing your job title. Like I said, people are not searching for job titles. They're searching for keywords.
That's a good point. Really good point. That's the distinction. I was a little confused on that. You know, how important is it to focus on your credibility or your authority that you have achieved in the mortgage industry, if we're talking to mortgage professionals? And how do you represent this in your profile without sounding like you're bragging, I'm the best or whatever, you know? How do you do that?
Well, you've got to say that you're the best, but you've got to say it in a way that's not bragging, right? So there's a fine line. So those first few lines in your summary, very important to what sort of authority and experience that you have. I have 30 years experience in the mortgage lending space. It gets represented in your summary, okay? But it's very important that people see that you're active, engaged, successful, and very knowledgeable in your space. So your LinkedIn profile can represent that, should it be built correctly.
When it comes to talking about accomplishments, again, this is one of those sensitive areas where it can kind of come across as a little bit braggadocious. And so how do you mix business-related accomplishments that you've achieved so far and get that in the profile in a manner that comes across in someone that will draw their interest without kind of turning them off because it looks like an ego statement?
Yeah, ego statements, yeah. Well, that's a good question. It's more important to list your accomplishments basically based on your work experience. It's how you word it. So you've got to be very careful about the wording to make sure, like I said, it's not bragging. But really, I've got 30 years experience. I was CEO of this massive company worldwide. People need to see that because they need to see that you're coming from a position of authority. Your LinkedIn profile is very important to showcase that.
When you get into someone's work history, which is kind of related to what we were just talking about, is that where you can really showcase your accomplishments? Is, you know, a typical resume, which a lot of people's LinkedIn profiles looks like a resume. I mean, what are some do's and don'ts on work history?
Well, that's a very good question. If you're the CEO of a business, a worldwide business, for instance, and the last two or three roles were exactly that, 10 years here, 5 years here, 4 years here, whatever it is, it really shows that you're a high-level operator. Okay, so what does that shout out there? That shouts value out to your network. A, people would be more interested in connecting with you. B, they would be definitely more interested in procuring your services. So it's a great way to showcase your services and your expertise.
Is it better to have your work history more bullet oriented, shorter phrases, so it's more scannable, or is
absolutely.
It so you recommend
absolutely.
More of a scannable work history?
Absolutely. Don't ramble in your profile. The thing that people don't understand nowadays is that everybody is so time poor. People need to see the value at a very quick glance. The chances of, and I'm generalizing here, but the chance of somebody painstakingly reading through your profile are very small. If he or she sees value straight away, they'll actually reach out and connect with you. And how do they see the value? Bullet points, short, sweet, showcasing your expertise.
Well, let's get to talking about testimonials. I think this is probably one of the best things that I have looked at when looking at someone's profile. I want to go read their testimonials. I want to hear what people are saying about them. You know, what are your thoughts on testimonials?
Oh, they're fantastic. Testimonials from very happy clients, always very good. Whether it's in the Google space or LinkedIn, Facebook, any social media platform, those testimonials are vital. People need to see that you have a good, really good track record with meeting your clients' expectations.
One of the things that you really helped me do is showcase my unique selling proposition. What do you recommend that people think about and how they put forth their USP or their unique selling proposition?
Okay, well, a lot of people, strangely enough, don't seem to realize or know what differentiates them from their competitors. It's vitally important, right? So if you're offering a key service, what would make somebody procure your services as opposed to your direct competitors? So what makes you unique? Be it your service offering, your response times, your methodology around dealing with issues when things go wrong, whatever it is, your USP is vitally important.
That makes sense, and it's the key to the USP. The unique part is each of us are uniquely made. I mean, we're created in a very unique. There's no other Rob Lowe's out there. There's no other David Lickens out there. And so there is something unique. How do you help people, or how, when you're working with a client, which you do a great job of asking good questions, how do you discover their USP?
You touched on it there, right? No two businesses are the same. You might have the same services, but essentially, very often, the top person, the owner of the business or the CEO, whatever it is, they're the ones that differentiate the business from others.
You know, you have a questionnaire where you draw that out of them.
Sure.
When you're interacting with someone, you're using a tool to do that through a series of questions. Is that correct?
That's correct. So based on all the experience that we have, we ask a lot of educated questions around your unique selling proposition, what makes you different from your competitors. Very important we lock that down early in the piece so we can make your profile more impactful and throw value back out to the network.
You know, let's get on to products and services. When you work with someone, how do you showcase their products and their services as well as their knowledge relative to what the service that they're offering?
Okay, that's a good question. It goes back to keywords at the start of it. Headlines, very important. What are your key services? What are your specialities? What do you bring to the party as far as service is concerned? Throughout your profile, it really needs to lock down what it is that you do and what it is that you do well. Everybody likes a specialist, right? Don't
right.
be a generalist. Very important.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's really good point. So really focus in on what, you know, your knowledge or what, again, comes back to the unique part of it. Your qualifications are something that almost everyone's going to look at if they're considering using you for a service. How do you, or how is it best to represent your qualifications in your LinkedIn profile?
It's a good question. If it's a very highly specialized occupation that you're in, absolutely, your university degrees, your specializations, absolutely. If it's more general, and I could be shot down for this, if you're running a business, if you're C-level, Not that vitally important. Experience is probably even more important. However, those university degrees are also important, just to showcase
right.
what you represent.
You know, we've been talking about your personal LinkedIn page. There's also a LinkedIn company pages. How important are these?
Okay, well, that's like your website. So it's really just a landing page and a reference. Okay, should you focus a lot of attention there? Probably not. Make sure all the details are correct. Make sure it showcases your services. But remember, people buy from people. Your personal profile is more important than your company page.
Okay. So it's more important you get your personal profile right. And then, you know, it's good to have a good company page and have it tied to that. One of the things everyone struggles with is, who should I connect with? I've got over 12,500 connections. Now, the vast majority of them are mortgage people, but I also noticed as I was going through there, somewhere along the way, we have a lot of people from other parts of the world and other industries linked in to me and connected. You know, what are your recommendations on who you should connect with? And how far off of your direct products and services should you vary?
Okay, that's a good question. For outreach, for people that you're connecting to in a professional manner, obviously need to be related to your target market, ideally. Inbound, when people are requesting a connection to you, they see value in your services or your connection. I always say to people, don't worry about connecting to people that aren't directly related to your services or to your industry. All right. The reason for that and my thinking around this is it's all about reach. The more people that you're connected to, indirectly, you're connected to their whole database as well. Their first, second, and third level connections, right? So the two of you are connected. Their whole extended network has visibility of your profile. That's got to be good, right? It's a numbers game.
Right. That's so true. I mean, so there is value in connecting just with anyone who sends. I mean, I'm averaging 25, 30 LinkedIn connection requests a day, and sometimes it's over that. It's amazing. I guess it's because you get to a certain level, a number. But for someone that is really wanting to connect with people, should they go out there and just be – yeah, hitting these connect buttons, connect with me. And is there a way to do that that's more effective?
That's a good question. Yeah, very good question. Don't send unsolicited connection requests out. In other words, please connect with me. You need to personalize every message. You need to throw some value back out at them. Why would they connect with you? Is there any benefit to them, short, medium, or long term? Okay, first touch point, your profiles needs to be impactful. So they need to see, at a glance, need to see there is value in connecting with you. So get your profile right, and we've touched on all of those points previously. But there's got to be some value to them. You need to personalize the message so they don't think that you're just throwing the net as wide as possible, hoping to catch as many fish as possible. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. That really does make it quick. Yeah. Well, one of the things that you do, and I want to get into, I mean, you've done a great job in working with me, and you and I are continuing our relationship. I'm working with you to help me expand my network and get into that. And I'm already finding some business connections that I think are going to lead to some potential engagements, some consulting engagements. So this really does work. So one of the questions that I have is, when you work with a client, specifically what you're doing with me and what you can do for others, because I think this is a valuable service. Most of us don't have time to do all of that, writing a personal invitation like you were just talking about. We just don't have time to do that. But you do that, and you do that on behalf of people like myself.
That's correct. We help our clients with all of those messages. It needs to be a personalized campaign. So people need to see, A, there's some value in connecting with you. And then B, ongoing, they need to see some level of relevance and authority, which they can engage with from a service-related point of view further down the road. So it's got to be value throughout the process. They need to see you are active, engaged, successful, all those things that they want to connect with and they want to procure services from. So it's a campaign, okay? It's ongoing. Essentially, it's a PR campaign.
Right. Yeah. And you're reaching out. So the first thing you do, like what I did, is, you know, I wrote you a check and you redid my whole profile. It looks great. I've had a lot of compliments on it. Encourage our listeners to go check it out. It's David Licken. And if you search my name, full name, David Licken, in LinkedIn, You'll no doubt find me and take a look at it. This is Rob's work. Now, when people are starting out with their LinkedIn pages, when they start connecting, should you be posting on your LinkedIn page? What are things you can do to kind of increase the awareness of that you exist out there? Is that done through postings? Is it done through that done? You're doing that for me, so
correct.
How are you doing that?
Yes. Posting, sharing really relevant industry-related articles is very important. We also recommend inspirational posts as well. Ideally, you need to be seen as a thought leader. So it's pretty overused term these days, but essentially that's what you're trying to achieve, being a thought leader in your industry space. So people reach out to you and procure your services based on the perspective that you're the top person in the game.
When you're talking about thought leadership, it doesn't mean that someone has to write every article. A lot of it can be just reposting something and adding a comment to that, correct?
That's correct. You don't need to initiate all of your articles. Share useful, relevant, industry-related information from your industry is equally important. And let's face it, who has the time to write a lot of articles every single day? Not you,
right.
Not me, David.
That's right. Let's wrap it up with this last question. You just tell people how to connect with you.
Through my LinkedIn profile, all my contact details are there. And this is what we say to everybody. Make sure you're contactable via LinkedIn. There's a lot of people that don't have their work email address listed, and they certainly don't have their phone numbers. If you want to be out there procuring and selling your services, you have to be contactable. So via LinkedIn, absolutely. Rob Lowe. My company is Cloud Business Tech, and we're based in Brisbane, Australia.
Rob, thank you so much for taking time to be with me today and sharing this valuable information with our listeners. Have a great week, and I encourage our listeners to get a hold of you. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, David.
That was really an interesting interview. And Alan, I'd like to go to you, get a little bit of feedback on this. We got to wrap this up real quickly, but
sure.
Any thoughts as you listen to Rob's comments?
I totally agree with the majority of what Rob had to say, and I experienced it myself, like you. I hired a professional to help me really understand my position and how to present myself on LinkedIn. And a lot of the things that Rob said are absolutely correct. You want to present not a title, but you want to present that you are a thought leader in what you're talking about, and that you want to connect with people that they don't have to necessarily be inside of your network, but somebody that you would see yourself doing business with, or that could be a partner to do an introduction. I can't tell you how many people made introductions for me just by making connections on LinkedIn over the last few months. So I think his comments are all very well aligned, and I think he has a lot of experience in putting these together, a lot of trial and error, I should say. I also, he made a comment that talked a little bit about the picture, right? And so you see a lot of pictures, and I think people intended to make it more business-like, but when they created their LinkedIn profile, it was just a random picture they uploaded, or they didn't know what it was going to be. So I think that, updating your picture and being able to present who you are in your business, I think, is very important. And as you go through LinkedIn, you see people and what they have in their profile. It's interesting. And just like Facebook, you can create a backdrop to your profile. So if it is your office, or if you're an innovator and having a think tank picture behind it, or something of the sort, I think is definitely important.
Yeah, that's really good. It's good feedback. Yeah, I've been using it and using it effectively for a number of years now, and I'm amazed at the number of people that reach out to me initially to connect with me and then talk about services. So good job. Thanks for your feedback. Next week, folks, we've got Tom Slyker coming on. Tom will be a fascinating interview because he works closely with clients generating sales from Google search marketing, and he works with clients creating a comprehensive digital marketing strategy. You definitely want to tune in next week, as we're going to be talking to Tom Slyker about Google Ads and what you can do. Again, very cost-effective way to advertise and get the word out, and you can control it. Tom's success is he is now known for generating $10 to $20 in sales for every $1 spent in Google search marketing. So be interesting to have his thoughts. Tune in next week. Looking forward to that. Have a great week, everybody. Tell others about the podcast and get a hold of our sponsors. If you would, go to Lickin' on Lending. Looking forward to having you back here next week. Have a great week, everybody.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.